Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory communication number 1. Doubt. It's not easy. But it's normal. It is not easy to live. Doubt is the conflict in you. It is the separation between your mind and the universal spirit. It is the polarity in your mind, created by your emotions and personal thoughts. When you are not involved in the development of your being, in the perfection of your bodies, that you are living your little lives, that everything is fine, you are not spurred by forces that penetrate in you. You don't live doubt. You do not even know what that is. But when these forces begin to penetrate, when your higher mind begins to open and you begin to live your positive thoughts, your negative thoughts, your spiritual thoughts, and your non-spiritual thoughts, that's where you start doubting. And you are not finished. You are just beginning. When you will not doubt anymore, you will be well. You will have an empty mind. It will no longer be polarized. Therefore, doubt is very normal. I warned you in the seminars. Doubt does not necessarily begin right after the seminars. It can start 6 months later, a year later, but it comes because it's part of the transmutation of your lower mental body. You cannot reach knowledge without going through doubt. It's impossible. If you are spiritualizing yourself and you are spiritually supported by what is traditional, by what is accepted, by what is known, it works. But when you start to come out of forms, to question forms, to question everything, to see with a new vision, with a new spirit, without being attached to anything, it becomes more difficult. There is a price to individuality, to identity, to the total union of soul, ego, and personality. There is a price. It is doubt, and the suffering of doubt is the monetary value of that price. Doubt is very important in the transmutation of the mental body, and it will disappear, the doubt, in its time. It is a new balance of energy in your mind. There are forms in your mind. Your mind is full of forms, full of ideas. It is only natural that when these forces penetrate, your mind takes a shock in return. It's very normal. It's not about panicking. It's not pleasant. But it's normal. And it's very good. Because eventually it cleanses your spirit. The previous fight between what is and what you would like it to be, you must live it. The more you go forward, the more you will live it until the moment when, understanding the laws of form, realizing that everything that happens in your head is a game, At that moment you will learn not to deal with the duality in your mind. You'll take it easy. You will stop getting attached to what is happening in your spirit. They do not want you to attach yourself to what is going on in your mind. They want you to let it pass freely. Over time, when you get used to it, you will let the energy pass freely. And at that moment you will no longer suffer from doubt. If you are suffering with doubt, it is because you are mentally and emotionally attached to the thought forms that pass through your spirit. So, it's normal that you suffer. It's normal. Do you think that the forces which seek to penetrate your mind will penetrate your mind easily? No. If it were like this, a long time ago humanity would be different from what it is today. These forces are forced to do a job when they enter your mind. This work is laborious for you because you're the one who lives it. Lately, everyone is complaining about doubt. They find it difficult. That's a good sign. When the forces penetrate your mind, there will be an adjustment in your mental body. It's like an iron bar penetrating frozen cement. The cement must make room for the iron bar. Don't worry about having positive or negative thoughts. Don't worry about that. Focus on being neutral and not attaching yourself to your thoughts. Those who have truly negative thoughts, because these thoughts come from negative entities, we will take care of that. But those who have negative thoughts simply because these thoughts forms come from the astral plane. Because these thoughts forms there are conveyed in their minds by forces that are busy penetrating into that body, there is no problem. First, the spiritual forces will use all the material in your memory that they need to create mental tensions in you. Mental tensions are part of this work. It's normal that you have these mental tensions. And doubt comes from that. They know you. They know what can create tensions. It is up to you to learn, once and for all, not to seriously take what is going on in your head. As long as you're going to take yourself seriously, they'll keep on going. Until, having understood the lesson, you stop. And at that moment, they will stop. All the work that are doing or will do on your mental body is to empty it of your subjective thoughts. There's a purpose to that. Once your mental body is emptied of your subjective and personal thoughts, and then those thoughts will be replaced by objective and pre-personal thoughts. In other words, you can communicate with them. Once you can communicate with them, that your mental body will be adjusted to communicating like a good radio. At that time, things are very easy. They enlighten you, they give you information, they tell you what to do. and they tell you why you should do something instead of something else. They explain your life plan. In other words, there develops an extremely close, extremely personal relationship between you and them. So that life, from that point on, becomes very easy. But they cannot do that when your mental body has not been given the vibration necessary for that communication. That's why, in the meantime, I always tell you to not take seriously what they are telling you, because there they are in a phase of preparing you. When you will be prepared, then you can take seriously what they tell you, because it will be time. It will be normal. You will know. Your level of intelligence will be high. I have a small text here that I will read to you. A text was transmitted. He says, "The man of the new race will no longer live according to the personal and subjective thoughts that he has known during his evolution. This thought will be replaced by a thought of higher vibration. So, that man will be unable to identify this new and powerful thought with his personal self. He will know without a shadow of a doubt that this thought comes to him from another plane, and that it originates in the universal planes of consciousness. From that moment on, man will no longer be able to make mistakes and submit himself to the law of return, because whatever he will do must be done." He says, "This new man will have no problems, because problems result from the fact that man does not know how to act within the framework of the thought created for him on the soul planes. He will have at his disposal all possible forms and imaginable forms of human thought, so that he can rise in the perfection of action at all levels of his social action. Man will then create a perfect society, to the extent of his creative power. That is why some of you will live, for a short while, a relatively difficult period in which our work will become more and more felt." He goes on, "The penetration of our energies into your mind will create a kind of suffering in your mind, because your subjective thoughts will be more and more eliminated, until one day when it will be impossible for you to live in subjectivity. The thought adjuster alone can do that work. That is why you are told that there is no effort to be made. It is a matter of recognizing what is happening to you, so that you know that your states are natural and normal. Man is not accustomed to living this new life and this state of permanent consciousness. As the work is done, the mind of the thought adjuster penetrates your mind, and that penetration is not always easy. It is for you to recognize that it is the thought adjuster that acts in you. This is essential. Once you are sure, everything will be easier and simpler. It's not just because you are in contact with us that your life will be easy at first, although it may be, depending on your personalities. We must change the vibrations of your mental body before you can use your new intelligence. Gradually you will understand, and everything will be easy. Do not expect a miracle. Do not rely on your little personal desires. We will make you feel the power of the universal consciousness in you only when you have reached a certain level of vibratory development. For us, the human ego must be united to the forces of the soul, and if this work is not accomplished, you should not expect anything. For this is a desire of the ego. That is the end of the text. The prouder you are, the more intelligent you are, the more conditioned you are, the more advanced in esotericism you are, the more you think you are right, the more you think you are on the right track, the more you will doubt. Doubt is directly related to the destruction of forms, and the destruction of forms goes far. It goes much further than you can imagine. If you realize that the ego is safe with its thoughts, that it is safe with what it conceives of the universe, it is very simple to understand that once all this is returned inside out, that the ego feels insecure. When they tell us that we must only have universal thoughts in our head that come from the communication between them and us, it is obvious that everything else is no longer useful. It is precisely here that for us the situation becomes difficult, because we do not want to let go. We do not want to drop ideas that are dear to us, that secure us in every way, and there are a lot of ways. You are beginning to understand it a little bit. So, we have to learn once and for all that we must not take ourselves seriously. We, humans, our biggest problem is to take ourselves seriously. That is our biggest problem. That is why we suffer from doubt. When we begin to come into vibratory contact with intelligences who are ready to bring the house down, to open our eyes, to make us free, to become autonomous, so that one day we can use the occult forces in us which are asleep. I have been talking about doubt for a little while, but there are some who do not doubt. There are others who, on the contrary, everything works. They are happy. They are in the seventh heaven. It's a joyride for them. Be careful to joyrides. Because when your time will come to pass through doubt, you are going to suffer. Now, you can do your little research, try to understand, and interest yourself, question yourself. You can read. But at one point or another, all the material that you absorb, all the material you absorb and that makes life enjoyable, at a certain moment, that material they must change it from compartment. They will put it in place. I'm going to give you an example. Everyone knows that Christ represents love, the sun, that the spirit represents the intelligence. But who represents willpower? We know that the Father represents the will. Who is the Father? Do you know that the Father is Lucifer? Have many among you are ready to realize that the Father is Lucifer? That Christ is love and that intelligence is the spirit? pay. Suddenly, things are not the same. Now, we are stuck with Lucifer, who represents the principle of the will in the cosmos. It's not fun. We were taught for a long period of time that Lucifer represented the negative forces. We do not understand what that means, negative forces. Because when we talk about negative forces, we put a ton of emotion in that. We do not see that objectively. We do not see it with the eyes of the mind. We see it with our little human consciousness, our little human emotions, and then it stops there. It's little stags like that that creates doubt. When we hear that, that causes us problems. After that, we wonder why this knowledge is hidden. I understand it's hidden. People are not mature enough. People do not have the ability yet to verify reality themselves. Everything is based on tradition, the interpretation of tradition, not to mention the hiding information of tradition and what has not been said in tradition. So, there is not much left for us. As soon as one stumbles upon something, well, we close the door and we don't want to know about anything, because we begin to feel scared. We start to be afraid. It does not coincide with our ideas. We close our eyes and then we close our ears. Then we stay there stuck in clay. When the universe was created, someone had to take care of it. We know that it was the Father who created the universe, the principle of the will. But to create the universe, the Father, the principle of the will, the creative entity had to move away from the central universe to explore the absolute spaces in which the lower worlds were created. It is evident that the entity, which left, which moved away from the central universe, to create worlds, was Lucifer. Lucifer was not a contemplative being. Lucifer moved away in absolute spaces and by his creative will, he designed the lower worlds. We must not always see Lucifer in the way so we are used to seeing him. Otherwise we will see nothing. That Lucifer represents the negative forces. It is normal because he had ceased to contemplate to launch himself into the absolute spaces. It was necessary. It was normal that what he created from the lower worlds was opposed to the forces of light that had remained in contemplation before the force, what you call God. If you want to understand something about the evolution of the worlds, you will be forced at some point to admit certain things, regardless of your small emotions and what makes you happy. This is a bit like the concept of God. The concept of God must be located within the reality of the higher mind, not in relation to what you would like. In the central universe, there are seven Alephs. The term Aleph signifies absolute realities, totally independent of the external worlds of the central universe. Then, from these seven absolutes, there are four which I call the primary alifs, and then there are three which I call secondary alifs. The secondary alifs represent in their manifestation the principle of intelligence. Love and will and are part of a triunity because they function in total harmony. And it is these three secondary alifs that are what you call you God. The four primary alifs are still non-manifested. Therefore God, as we know him, as we conceive him, this triunity God, which is part of the three secondary alifs, is not an absolute God, because the four others are not yet manifested. This triunitary God, what I call the force, will be absolutely absolute when the four primary alifs have manifested themselves. So that when we can say that God is absolute, what we mean is that the force is perfect in its triunity. It is totally indivisible in its triunity, but it is not absolute. The proof is that there still exist in the created universe, in the lower worlds, errors in evolution. So that errors in evolution are no longer possible, it will be necessary that all the evolving entities in the universe be returned to the light. Then, when all evolving entities are returned to the light, then probabilities will cease to exist. Errors will no longer exist, and automatically the seven alifs will have been manifested. And then we can say that the alifs acting together represent an absolute God or a divinity, absolutely absolute. It's important to understand that. It's not important psychologically, but it's important philosophically, because psychologically for us in our system, on our little remote planet, who have almost no recourse to the dimensions that implies, the psychological value of this reality is far too great for our spirits. But philosophically, it is important because our philosophy must be scientific rather than purely speculative. Now, I know that Mr. Arbeck will be doing some overtime, but that's normal. It's part of his evolution. When you will have had experienced doubt in its great depths, your mind will be empty, and from that point on it will become easy for you to receive information about the evolution of the universe, about its status, without panicking whenever someone tells you something that goes beyond or that goes against some limited interpretations. Now, at that moment, you will begin to understand something in relation to the vast magnitude of the universe and the principles that animate it. It will be interesting from then on for you to go deep within the understanding of the structures of reality. But on the other hand, you will no longer be attached to form, and automatically you will no longer suffer from doubt. That infamous doubt that is related to the various conflicts created by the form within your mind. It is only under conditions of total absence of doubt that one can live, participate, enjoy the understanding of reality. But if every time we are told something, we begin to fear, and then we break down because it does not suit us or because we think we are being misled. Because we think we are affected by negative forces. At that moment there is no pleasure in the experience. Then, where there is no pleasure, there is no continuity. Because knowledge is infinite. We can scratch the surface, but knowledge is infinite. At some point, if you are to live side by side with knowledge, if knowledge must pass through your spirit to feed your brain to allow you to do this or that, to engage in a particular speech, to communicate such and such ideas, it is absolutely necessary that you free yourself and that you go beyond the personal doubt related to your attachment to form. So then, this little conversation here illustrates that doubt is necessary. It is fundamental. It is natural because your mind is filled with all sorts of knowledge. In popular language, when we say that if man saw God, he would die of fright. The language is very simple. It means that if man were confronted with reality without preparation, without his body's being adjusted, it would be absolutely impossible for him to undergo the shock without dying. Without his body's withdrawing completely from his material body. It's normal. So, if you take it in a personal context, to the height of your thoughts, then to your personal doubt, it will make your job easier and it will make you understand why you must live doubt until the day when you will be totally free from it.